Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. 9 o'clock. It is March 28th. It's Saturday night. Fortunately, we're not in New York. We're right in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. So I can say, Wisconsin Dells, it's Saturday night. Tonight's a special night, actually. Tonight is just not one of those, you know, ordinary Saturdays, as you may call it. Tonight's what it's called the Earth Day, which is lights out for 1 hour. So if you ever care, if you want to show that you care about energy conservation, simply switch off your lights on March 28th, which is today, 8:30 to 9:30 local time. I don't know it doesn't say really Easter, you know, on Eastern or Midwest or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, it's 9 o'clock, so it's. Ooh, I still got my lights on. I don't know if it's gonna matter if I turn it off right now. Let's do that. Nope, it's too dark. Sorry, can't turn it off. I can't see. Sorry. We'll do it next year, okay? We'll do it next year. I promise. I think this is like a move from, you know, what you might call it. The global warming crew. That's right. I mean, how much energy can really conserve? I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, you want to light candles? Come on. If you light like thousand or million candles, I mean, that would produce enough smoke to, you know, to pollute the air. I mean, would you agree? I mean, come on. I mean, I do participate on conserving energy. It's like buying, you know, instead of buying a regular bulb, I buy more kind of energy efficient light bulbs. I mean, I think that should be enough. I mean, I don't have to turn off my lights if I don't have to. I mean, I don't leave them on if I don't need to, you know. So today is the Earth Hour. And this Saturday is the third annual worldwide event. And Earth Hour is both a symbolic act, and the start of a practical habit. So if I think you want to do that every Saturday night, turn your lights off for an hour. Hey, how about turn it off when you go to bed? How about that? That's more than an hour. That's more like 9 hours or something. Hey, how about opening some windows and not turning the light? And that would save you, like, that was like a day. Million of homes and businesses, actually, hundreds of major landmarks will go dark, or went dark, or still in dark right now, for 1 long hour to show that energy conservation is important, and to send its message to political leaders attending the United Nations Climate Change Conference. That's like in December. So they want to send a message. So this is some sort of symbolic. So that's what I want to do. And that's what, you know, they want to do that. You know, hey, I got an idea. How about just tell them? Yeah, tell the leaders attending the United Nations Climate Change Conference. You know, just show us some money and we'll conserve some energy. How about that? At the same time, Earth Hour reminds each of us on how easy to conserve. That's what it says here. Just turn off the non-essential lights and electronics to reduce our own power consumption. So it is a signal. It is a sign telling you. So it's easy to conserve. I mean, it becomes, you know, because they want to do it. It becomes second nature. You know, that's what they want. And I mean, I've always turned lights off when I, you know, exit the room when I don't need them. I think I do. What they said, lighting accounts for about 11% of a typical American home, you know, energy bills and all that, while computers and electronics add another 9%. So by shutting off these things or when you're not using them, we can lower our load significantly. That's what they said. So the goal here, the goal is to set to get an ambitious deal to curb emissions of heating trapping gases that scientists says, get this, are dangerously warming the planet. Dangerously warming the planet. That sounded like Al Gore for a minute there. Earth Hour's organizer says there's no uniform way to measure how much energy is saved worldwide. Yeah, you can't. You know, you can't measure them. I mean, it's just how much money you saved on an Earth day. I mean, you can probably measure them from, like, your energy bills. Let's say if you do, like, you know, Earth day every day, you know, you turn off your lights, you know, conserve to save energy, and that would tell you right there if your energy bills are significantly lower than the previous bill. That would tell you right there. But for this, you know, so-called expert on this, calling them that this is towards dangerously warming the planet, and I don't know. I just don't believe on that. I don't believe on the global warming. I mean, there is there's global cooling also. I mean, I think they can. Scientists that are doing research on global cooling would also have arguments on their side. I mean, that's, you know, if you look at it, global cooling. How about that instead of global warming? That is just pathetic. Okay. Well, to those of you that got on the chat room, and if you want to call in, 347-884-8125. And this is a Block Talk Radio and a Great Inferno show. And we'll jump in a nice second. We'll go back. What I'm going to do is we'll go back to the lights out tonight. If there's anyone calling, you guys want to call in, let's talk about that. Lights out tonight, are you participating in that? Do you participate? Do you even care? Do you just, don't care? Or you're a fanatic, you know, oh man, I must turn this off at 8:30, 9:30, can't wait, oh no. Or, you know, you just go on in your everyday lives and conserve energy the way you always do, you know? All right, and that, my friend, and we're going to go from lights out to vampires, because vampires actually, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to scare these people that they have their lights turned off right now. There's actually vampires out there, okay, who loves to dwell in the dark. This is what vampires do. That's what vampires is all about. It's all about darkness. So, but you guys turning off your lights for an hour, vampires could be just in your backyard. Guys, you don't want to have vampires running around your street because they think it's, you know, a global blackout, because that's what, I don't know, I'm just talking crazy here, but anyway, I don't believe in vampires. But even though, get this, in a skeleton actually excavated from a 16th century Venetian grave, the gravesite, they said maybe the earliest example discovered of body being treated at the time of its burial as a vampire. But I always have a switchboard here and it goes and it's scary. Well, wait a minute. No, I do have one, but it's a bird. Hold on a second. Vampires! No, not that. Those are birds, man. My soundboard engineer is kind of, you know, doesn't know what it's doing. All right. You can stop now. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Boy. All right. So, move on. Because they found a small brick deliberately lodged in the mouth of a dead woman. And they said it's a key link to a vampire legend. That's what, according to newsscientist.com. So the vampire tomb was found and dug by archaeologist Matteo Borini on Lazzaretto Nuovo Island. Wow, that's pretty good. He found these in a mass grave of victims of Venice, dated 1576. So you're saying that how do they know it was a vampire? I thought you would never ask. Glad you asked that. Well, first of all, there's a brick in his mouth. And second of all, there's a brick in its mouth. So this is believed to be a Middle Ages burial ritual by grave diggers for suspected quote-unquote vampires back in the day. So if you caught doing some vampire stuff, yep, they will tie you up and they will put that brick inside your mouth. Oh yeah, and they'll bury you alive. So they believe that by putting that brick inside of a vampire's mouth, they're actually, I don't know. I think they were taught that way by their parents. If you ever find vampires out there, you put a brick in their mouth and bury them alive. Let's get my co-host in.
The clothes out of a drawer.
Right. Go ahead. 3797, you again, go ahead. I'm talking about, this is what we're talking about. Vampires. Well, first, let me go back to the lights out. Do you know what's tonight?
The night of March 28th.
Yes, it is. And it's not just an atypical or ordinary Saturday night. It is the Earth Hour, which is actually around the world, is actually observed. And you know, they turn off the light 8:30 from 8:30 to 9:30. So we're like right in the middle of it, I think. This Earth Hour is the third annual worldwide event, and it's actually plays a symbolic act in the start of practical and to start of a practical habit. So they're saying that the goal is to get an ambition to deal with curb emissions of heating, trapping gases that scientists says are dangerously warming the planet. So it's the global warming, folks, I think, behind this. So do you believe that we'll really conserve energy by just turning it off for an hour?
Yeah.
Well, I know we conserve
energy. I don't
believe
in global warming, but I do believe that it does conserve energy, actually. Well, I don't know, it will conserve some energy, but I know that the purpose of daylight savings time is to conserve energy because somehow they figured it out that it saves a lot of energy if people just, like, go to sleep, like, earlier rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
So they, like, you know, so for 1 hour it will save some, but I don't think as much as a whole season, you know, with, like, daylight savings time. I think daylight savings time saves more energy.
I see that. Now, we're you know, as the world goes black right now, and we're talking about, and I can't turn off my lights right now because it's going to get dark in here. I mean, I'll probably have my computer on and everything, but it's not enough. I'll probably trip over and bust my nose. But candles, though. Candles, you know, they would encourage you to light candles. Flashlight, maybe. However, you know, I mean, if let's say you have a million candles lit up, it's all at the same time. I mean, don't you think that's, you know, the gas that comes out of that candle produces some kind of, you know, waste that, you know, harmful to environment?
Yeah, I think that's a lot more harmful to the environment, lighting candles, than the electricity.
All right, and then to go back to the thing, I know I talked about jumping in news segments about vampires. Now, I was telling those people out there who have their room filled with darkness, I mean, vampires lured in the darkness. So I better turn that light on. Go do it, because there's vampires out there, buddy. Now, they said they found an skeleton, and it was excavated from, I think, a 16th century Venetian gravesite. And they're saying that the earliest example discovered in a body being treated at the time of its burial as a vampire. So it was they found that it was a brick in its mouth.
And then what?
There was a brick.
Brick in his mouth.
Yeah, and one of the skull, like a head skull, and it had skull wide open, mouth wide open, and has a brick on him. So, and this is believed to be a Middle Ages burial ritual by gravediggers to force suspected vampires. So if you were suspected as a vampire back then, that will put a brick in your mouth.
Wow.
You believe that? Do you believe in vampires?
Do I believe in vampires? No, but I do believe that there's nothing new under the sun, and so it is possible that even then they believed in vampires. And also, like, what is that? There's something in the Philippines, like, I don't know what they're called, but it begins with an S, and they, like, believe that the person's top part of their body comes off their bottom part, and then they fly away. And then
weird.
They go suck blood or something, or take babies, or, and I think that's something new even in the Philippines. Like, I think that's been around since the 1800s or before then, you know. So that's what I believe.
That's weird. Anyway,
that's
let's go jump into the subject right now. Yeah, I'm getting scared right now. It's getting dark, and I'm getting really, like, frightened right now. So I want to change the subject because I'm easily scared. All right. No, I'm not. Anyway, let's change, you know, from the brick to a wedding ring. Actually, the guy named Reed Harris decided to put a diamond ring. You know, he wanted to propose to his girlfriend, and he decided to put a diamond ring in his girlfriend's milkshake as a part of his proposal. But, you know, he didn't expect her to swallow it, though.
An X-ray
revealed the Kaylin Whipple had swallowed the engagement ring that her boyfriend put in her milkshake as a surprise. And she said, quote, "I felt nothing at all." She said that on Today Shows. But his girlfriends are Wendy's Frosty Shade. Never found a ring. And Matt said, the guy actually said that, I put a wedding ring in it. And she said, no, I didn't feel anything. So Harris told her that, they take her to the hospital to do an X-ray, and sure enough, there he was. They found a ring that's in her belly. So when they got home from the hospital, he proposed using the X-ray image of the ring and says, "Look, you know, here's the ring in your belly. Will you marry me?" Well, I mean, she can't say no. It's in her belly. So the couple who live in New Mexico are actually planning to tie the knot in May or June. Here's the question, though. I mean, I don't know, that's some crazy. Have you heard any crazy proposals, things out there? I heard that guys, like, jump off the building. Oh, like, for not jump off the building. When he had his, a parachute and but he jumped off, and, you know, when he opened up the thing, it's there he goes. You know what I mean? It's crazy, but, hey, it works. You know, kind of the chick or the girl couldn't say no for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But putting in their ring, I mean, is he, how are they gonna be able to get her out though? That's my question. What do you think? How are they gonna be able to get those ring out of her belly?
Perhaps he's gonna have to show her how much he loves her and dig through her poop.
Well, I'm not really gonna sit there and watch for her poop. Let's get the caller in right here. 7202, you're in. You're on the show.
What is going on, Frodo? Point at me.
Oh,
is this the Great Inferno? Is this that Great Inferno?
This is a Great Inferno show, Corey.
Oh my God!
You got him. You got him.
No. What is your topic, Fernando?
Well, we started out with the lights out tonight. Tonight is not, you know, it's not just a typical Saturday night. Tonight's the lights out. Actually,
the lights are out. Oh my God!
Earth Day lights out. You know, I don't participate on that, but it was just like a huge thing online. I mean, everywhere you go, you turn the thing, you know, CNN, Fox News and stuff, it's right there on the front page. The lights out. Participate, you know.
The lights, it's like a blackout, huh?
A blackout, yeah, from 8:30, 9:30. Actually, it's going to be over now in 10 minutes. Do you participate on it? Do you believe in that? Because I believe the global warming crowd is behind all of this. Do you believe in that?
Global
warming? Are you participating right now?
And
no, both.
Like,
both.
What do you mean am I participating in? What action are you talking about here?
I'm action about the lights out tonight.
The lights out? The lights are on,
Are you
man.
Sitting in the dark right now?
Nope, I'm at the hotel.
Okay.
All lights are on, man.
All lights are on. So we're not participating on that. Now, global warming. What's your take on that?
Global warming, I think it's a farce.
Ah, good. We got the same page here, so I don't have to.
I don't think global warming. I think it's just another name to say something's going on with the world and the ecosystem outside there. You know.
Yeah, actually, I mean, just like I was saying earlier, that you know, if you research a global cooling, they will have the same argument.
Oh, for sure. What do you define global warming, or how do you define it?
My definition of global warming. I don't believe in global warming. I mean, I believe that there's a shifting climate, you know.
I think the world's just ever-changing every single day. And
exactly.
Global warming is just something that scientists or some guys in a blackout room probably came up with one night with the lights out, you know what I'm saying? Let's
right.
just say, hey, the world's getting warmer in spots, colder in spots, there's holes in the world, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just going to say it's global warming.
Yeah, actually, Al Gore is like, you know, right in front of that. Al Gore,
that guy,
yeah.
That guy's forgotten about, isn't he?
He's still alive. He's still alive, dude. Don't worry.
I know he's still alive. I'm just
But I jumped in a segment from the lights out to the vampires. I read this article about they have dug out excavated a 16th century Venetian grave. They found in the site, actually, there was a skeleton. There was a brick inside his mouth, and actually that they
brick?
Found out a brick, yeah, like just a brick. You know, when you break your brick house, you got
you got
brick
house.
Well, actually, they believe to be a, you know, that's actually a Middle Ages burial ritual by grave diggers for suspected vampires.
Where did they find this at?
In Italy.
In Italy.
Yeah, it's actually found by Matteo Barini.
Are they kind of well known for their vampires back in the day or something like that?
Who knows?
Did you do any research on that?
Well, no. That actually, it's in, they found it in mass grave victims in Venice. And it's from a 1576 plague. So there was no, you know, there was no, you know, history of vampires being, you know, existed in that area, but I'm saying it's just like this is history shows that that's what one of the burial ritual by grave diggers for.
So put a brick in their mouth.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like
you want
like,
a lot calling in the Great Inferno, don't you?
more like that's what the pimp will do to their prostitute.
Yeah, no shit. Slap them with a brick and donkey punch that bitch and go on.
Okay.
Am I not supposed to
say
that?
It's a family show, man. It's a great family show
I'm
here.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
there,
man. That's my first time on. I got to learn the rules, man.
I don't want to get any letters from you. I don't want to get any letters from anybody.
I'm
I do apologize if you have my color.
I apologize to all the listeners. I'm sorry.
All right.
This is like late night talk show or something, you know, like the lady does her sex talk or anything, you know.
Well, it could be that way.
No, those are the extra late nights. I forgot it's only getting on 10 o'clock here.
Yeah, it's early. I have, like, I don't know whose kids that cry in the background. Do you have kids out there?
Do I have kids?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Out there right now, because I hear some crying in the background.
Nah. I'm in my office right now, man.
Yeah,
ain't
okay.
No kids with me. It's probably one of your six kids that you got.
I have seven kids right now in my house. No,
sounds
in the studio.
Nice.
Well, let's jump into the segment here. We're going to leave that vampires alone, so it's kind of spooking me out. Well, like this one. Well, can you really say, can you say Fear of Friday the 13th? How about Paraskevna Dekorovia Pobia or Freka Dostobra Pobia? Can you say that? Well, they all mean the same thing. For those of us that's a phobia, 2009 is a rough year because there's something about this date nowadays, and Friday is number two fear of the number 13. So that's the number two. Friday, fear of number 13 is so pervasive that some buildings even omit the floor number. Like some of the hotels don't have the, you know, number 13. And actually the original link between bad luck and Friday the 13th is kind of fishy here. Because the whole thing might be dates of biblical times, they said. The 13th guest at the Last Supper betrayed Jesus. Remember that? I don't know if
mm-hmm.
you're a Bible reader. So
no,
by the Middle Ages, both Friday and 13 were considered bearers of bad fortune. So in modern times, this is superstitions kind of, you know, carried on, you know, throughout the years here. So for you guys, Friday the 13th fanatics, do you believe in that?
I do believe in there is, like, a significance behind Friday the 13th when it's actually, you know, Friday the 13th, but the difference between a Friday versus the 13th,
mm-hmm.
If you're talking about the date of the week, you know, March 13th or something like that, I don't think it's, you know, a scary day or something like that, but, you know, if it's Friday the 13th, I wonder if there's anything out there. You know, you've seen the horror movies with Jason and, you know, everything like that. if that's
you
what you're kind of...
You don't want a guy to, you know, show up with a...
I don't
want to
be caught in Crystal Lake or nothing like that, you know? Getting capped by somebody, but I don't think, you know, the 13th, if you're, like, talking about sports or something, you know, people have their lucky numbers, jersey number mm-hmm. 13, or, you know, they have their lucky days or... You know, whatever. It's kind of how everybody else perceives it. It's how you perceive it as your number, really. But Friday the 13th is something, yeah, I can see how people think it might be a scary day or a bad luck day or something like that, but I keep them separate, so.
Right. What about you, Don? What do you think, Friday the 13th? Anything to worry about that?
No, I don't think so. It's just superstition. It's just like, you know, don't walk underneath the ladder. It's just because. And just because maybe something bad happened to somebody on Friday the 13th doesn't mean something's going to bad happen to everybody on Friday the 13th.
Right. So what did you say? Don't walk under the what?
Don't walk under the ladder.
Yeah,
oh,
obviously
yeah.
You shouldn't walk under the ladder because it might fall on you. Some people
you never heard that?
Bad luck. I just
I've heard of that. What about the great giant ladder? Remember one of those?
What?
That should be safe.
What ladder?
Like they call the little giant.
No, you don't walk under any ladder.
Oh, any ladder? Oh, come on. Oh, that's just.
It's like
maybe
if you ever seen a mirror break or something like that.
You know.
A mirror break.
Okay. Yeah, that's bad luck too. It's
well,
all how.
I think that's only because you might step on it and get cut.
That's true.
That's true. So what about, like, if you've seen a black cat? If you see, like, there's a bad luck too, right?
I have a black cat.
Sorry. A black cat. So he's like, you'd be walking around the street and you see a black cat and just, you know, and you ever seen Matrix?
Those are like witches, though, aren't they, with black cats?
Yeah, I think
so,
yeah.
Do you have a black cat?
I used to have a black cat named Sabrina.
Yeah,
we
right.
Did.
Yeah, I pet it, and I think she's dead. She ran away because I starved her to death. I locked her in the basement and fed her with live rabbits. No, just kidding. I don't want any letters from mean people out there. No, but I'm not cruelty. I'm not cruel to animals. So, Friday the 13th. Here's the thing. So let me finish this up. There's actually a five Friday the 13th fact. So let me go through this real quick. Number one, fear of Friday the 13th. One of the most popular myths in science is called paracavedigatriophobia, as well as the fricatricacadicaphobia. Those are called Friday the 13th phobia.
English,
yeah.
Man.
Trichacticophobia is fear of the number 13. So many hospital, number two is many hospital they have no room 13, while some tall buildings keep the 13th floor and some airline terminals meet gate 13. See? President Franklin D. Roosevelt would not travel on the 13th day of any month and would never host 13 guests at the meal. Napoleon and President Herbert Herbert Hoover were also triskaidekaphobic, with an abnormal fear of number 13. That's a fact, okay? Mark Twain once was a 13th guest at the dinner party. A friend warned him not to go. It was a bad luck. Twain later told a friend they only had food for 12. Superstitious dinners in Paris can hire a quartosime or a professional 14th guest. That's just weird. So number five, ladies, the number 13 suffers from its position of after 12, according to numerologists who consider the latter to be a complete number. 12 months in a year, 12 signs in a zodiac, 12 gods of Olympus, 12 laborers of Hercules, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of Jesus, 12 days of Christmas, and 12 days in a dozen. So that's there you go. They have your 12. That's a Friday 13 fact.
Our hotel doesn't have the number 13 anywhere.
Oh, that's right.
Did you know
that? I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. No, that's, I can answer the number 16 fact. I'll do that. Let's jump in a segment over here. All right. Another segment, the Great Infinity Show. Listen up, call in 347-884-8125. If you guys not doing anything and you're in the dark. Oh, it's actually over now. But if you turn on your lights, call in and do my radio station. I'll go online, blogtalkradio.com/Great Inferno. Now, let's talk about what's up with Madonna, man. I mean, Madonna's expected to, you know, she's going to Africa. I think she's arriving on Sunday. And now
what's
she is, I don't know, I think she's going to get a new baby to adopt.
A new baby to adopt?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's what it says. But here,
Angelina Jolie again? What?
Yeah. I mean, this celebrity is going to, you know, they're going to do whatever they want, you know, for publicity stunts, you know? I believe this is what she's doing, you know? So
you think it's a publicity stunt?
Oh, I think so, dude. You know, I mean, come on. Think about it.
How old is Madonna? Is she
gotta be like 40 or something like that.
60?
No, it's gotta be older.
Yeah, definitely a publicity stunt. She's just trying to get her name back on the chart.
Well, yeah. No, because there's controversy in this because according to the law that she's not able to, and she's trying to fight that. So there's like an additional. I don't know. And her lawyer says she's not doing anything wrong. But the British Children's Charity has urged Madonna to think twice before adding another African child to her celebrity family. I mean, if I have all that money, dude, I mean, it's just... I mean, what's up with, the, you know, adopting black babies, though? I mean, I'm not racist or anything like that.
No, I'm all for adopting children in need or something like that, you know, definitely. But how many kids does Madonna already have? Does she really need more?
No, she can afford it, though.
Well, duh. I mean, any celebrity can afford it, but why don't they put their money towards Do they want to raise a child that's in need? Is it definitely a child that is in need? Is it a child that is actually kind of well off and just up for adoption? Or, like, you know, what kind of, what circumstances is she basing her adopting for, and why are they neglecting her?
It's because she's been working, apparently she's been working over there at the, in Africa.
I go work in Africa, I should adopt an African baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't
I don't know. I was just saying that. But I was saying, why can't she just adopt, like, maybe, you know, a 34-year-old Filipino kid?
That'd be you.
That would be me. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Because I'll put myself on the list for adoption, you know? I mean, come on. What do you think a 34-year-old guy, I mean, baby, I'm a baby. With kids of his own.
Oh. I got nothing for this one.
I'm pretty sure I'll be a good boy, you know.
You just like it when she spanked you.
I don't know. Oh, okay. We're going actually 9 at 9, so we gotta speed it up over here because we're running out of time. You're making me laugh, dude. Let's go to another segment, shall we? Now a segment here we're going to be talking about.
It's the Freedom Tower. I don't have the echo here.
I'm going to get this echo one of these days because it's really cool. You know, the Freedom Tower. All right, get this. All right. You know the 9/11, you know, the Twin Towers, you know, and stuff like that. And then they're building that. And even though, even without a name, the symbolism of Freedom Tower is, you know, that's a response from, you know, to the September 11 terror attack. And actually, the original architect designed a twisting form. He wanted to imitate the Statue of Liberty, actually, with a spire that rose to the deliberate height of 1,776 feet to recognize the year of American independence. The politicians call the tower proof of the country's triumph over terrorism. That's what they want to call it. Originally, they were going to call it Freedom Tower. So the skyscraper under construction at Ground Zero in New York will be called now One World Trade Center. So instead of Freedom Tower. And that's an initial plan. Of course. Owners of the site said Thursday that the critics are blasting the decision as an unpatriotic. And And I believe those critics are the, you know, the family of, you know, the 9/11 victims and all that. So let's go with you real quick. What say you, Mr. Neiman? Do you think this is an unpatriotic move by those who's in charge?
No, I don't think it's unpatriotic.
No?
I don't know. Is it, like, are they building it just as a monument in honor of the World Trade Centers, or are they building it for any use?
For a building, and it's going to be, you know, I think the building for use, like, you know,
it's going to be the new World Trade Center or no?
They're going to do that, and also, I mean, because I guess when they presented the thing in the beginning as a Freedom Tower, you know, I agree with you on that. You know, it's not that important, and Freedom Tower is, you know, to get the people rally up and say, you know, yeah, we're going to have Freedom Tower, and it's, you know, American will, you know, we will survive and stuff like that, and now it's just going to be One World Trade Center. I mean, the spirit's still there, and I don't know where they can be, you know, they're so, you know, fuzzed about, but a lot of people are mad, and that's what, and do you think they should go back to Freedom Tower?
Name of what it should be?
Yeah, the names. Yeah.
I think it should be, if they're going to call it the One World Trade Center versus the Freedom Tower, I think it should be the Freedom Tower. Like, mm-hmm. The World Trade Center's already went down. Like, that's a significance in history at this point, and we can't rename something. You know,
yeah.
I, we're talking about the name of what it should be called, yes, and as you want my honest opinion, I don't think we should be building anything at that site. You know, that's a site in history that, you know, going to go on for generations and generations, and why should we put something else up there
I guess I don't really know because I haven't been there. I've seen it firsthand.
That was my second question. Yeah, I have not been there.
Pictures and things like that, but if you're talking about the name of something, yeah, of course I don't think it should mimic or do have anything to do with what the last, you know, it is a freedom center. We came together as a nation and our free country that we are, and we, you know, we overcame the boundaries and overcame the tough times that we had to go through, you know. So it's, you know, it's showing our freedom, our power that we had to deal with and what we've overcome.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, I think it is unpatriotic to name it that.
Well, do you think, I mean, I know there's a lot of people who's going to be, you know, fighting for that, or, you know, to get the name back in that Freedom Tower. I mean, do you think officials should, you know, give in? I mean, I know that back in, remember, I don't know if you were there at the one of the resorts there over there in the Dells, that there used to be like a tsunami wave pool,
mm-hmm.
and it was changed to, you know, surge because of the, you know, the great tsunami that happened over in Southeast
mm-hmm.
Asia. And there was, and I don't know how many people, but there was like quite, you know, people that was upset or offended by that. So they changed it to they gave it a new
name.
Sure. No, yeah, I think, you know, if there's enough people who would rally and say, you know, we want the Freedom Tower, I think, I mean, officials would easily give in. Don't you think so?
I think so, for sure. You know, if the people speak out and they want something different, you know, if people don't like the name of it because of what did happen, which I can understand, you know, like I said, it was a tough thing for America to go through. And I think if people stand up for what they believe in, what they want, and they speak out for it, I mean, anything's possible, really. They can get it changed. They can get name changed.
Huh. That makes sense. But anyway, that kind of gloomy and doomy, eh? It's just kind of getting me all sad and fuzzy inside, all these things you talk about. But let's not stop there. Let's continue on, because you get on my nerves. Hold on a second. Well, now we are going from that to the useless stuff. Soap smugglers. The quest for squeaky clean dishes has turned some law-abiding people in Spokane. I don't know where that is, but I believe it's in somewhere in Washington. They're actually they're bringing Cascade or Electrosol in from out of state because the eco-friendly varieties required under Washington state law does not work as well. So Spokane County became the launch pad last July in the nation's strictest ban on dishwashers because they're banning detergents made with phosphates. The measure aims at reducing water pollution. The ban will be expanded to statewide, actually, in July 2010. So at the same time, similar law takes effect in several other states. I don't know about Wisconsin. But I believe among the other states that have banning phosphates in dishwasher detergents are Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Michigan, Vermont, Minnesota, Illinois, Massachusetts, and New York. So there's no Wisconsin yet.
Woo,
thank God.
So what are we talking about, banning soap?
Banning of detergents, yeah. Phosphate, yeah. It's in the detergents, like in the dishwashing detergents. It's actually in Washington. You know, there are people actually crossing the state line and buying some, you know, that stuff like Cascade and Electrosols, smuggling back into the states because it's against the law in Washington to sell, you know, detergent that contains phosphates in. So the question is, I mean, because that's what they want, and many people were shocked to find a product like Seventh Generation, Ecover, and Trader Joe's left their dishes encrusted with food. Those are the products that are supposedly eco-friendly, and it does not work. Eco-friendly. So if it's eco-friendly, this is the question. If it's eco-friendly, I mean, I don't think they've tried everything else, but, I mean, we should not be like, I mean, use those if it's not going to work. I mean, what's your take on this? What I'm asking is, you know, should the state of Washington would make up a law and saying it's against the law to smuggle, you know, detergents into the state? that are soap or anything like that.
Well, are people using it for drugs or what? I mean, it's not like we're taking 50 pounds of cocaine across the border or what the hell is going on here, you know?
Yeah,
is the phosphate, like, unhealthy for people? Is it hurting the clothes it's washing or the dishes it's washing or
hurting our environment? That's what they say.
So we can't. So basically, the article's saying that we're smuggling phosphate
right.
out.
Yeah, they're actually Washington. Yeah, people from Spokane, Washington's actually, because they're right by the border in some other states there, and actually smuggling, you know, Cascades and other soap or detergent product that contains phosphates, and the states it says, you know, that's against the law. But I don't know.
If they want everything to be, if it's, you know, the go green, eco-friendly, you know, let's keep our environment safe, well, why don't we start where it's not the phosphate soap that's ruining our environment. Everybody that smokes cigarettes, the smokestacks coming out of every industry, you know, every
mm-hmm.
factory across the world. I mean, you can go on and on for hours and hours about how polluted out our country is and how really nasty it is if you want to, you know, point blank it. And I don't think soap, you know, the phosphate in soap is really should be that much of a topic for discussion at this point when there's so many other factors out there. If we're talking about the eco-friendly of the environment or, you know, making sure the place is safe, well, then we better start, you know, cutting back at other spots that we need to that'd be a lot better.
Exactly.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, well, the Washington, actually, there's a Washington Lake Protection Association, protect the lake, actually. They want to encourage people to give the environmental-friendly brands a fair chance. So the group suggests consumers experiment with different brands or install water softener to help the green detergents work better. That's what they want.
Well,
so they have a problem.
To me, it's just another gimmick to get people to spend more money on other products to enhance one product. Really,
that's
if that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just getting the economy up in Washington to get people to spend more money to help, you know, an eco-friendly soap detergent.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah, but they're making it a law that, you know, not to sell for the markets or, you know, like Walmart or Target, I think, to sell any products that has a phosphate, containing phosphates. So they are, thus, a lot of people crossing the border and getting some stuff, like Cascades of, you know, bleach, whatever, Electrosol, and
if
taking it back.
Bad, why
does, stuff.
If it's that bad, why do they even make it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, why do they even make
if
it?
If it's that so harmful for our environment or for anybody to use for that matter, why do they even produce it? Why do they make it? Why does it start at point blank and where the product is produced?
Well, because it's an argument. It's like scientists, there was a research done that those are, you know, bad for the environment, to preserve the lake. But other states does not have that law, particularly the states surrounding the Washington states. And what's your take on this, Don, is that, eco-friendly detergent doesn't work?
At our shoppingsuperhighway.com, we have a line called Snap. It's a Snap line, and we have dishwasher-friendly detergent. And
does it contain phosphates?
It doesn't have phosphates that I know of.
Does
I can go get the bottle. But what I do know is that, notice, like with the Cascade, that there's a warning that you can't even be in the same room as the dishwasher that it's on, compared to like the one that like you can get through our website, through my husband and I web and my website, is that there's no warning on the bottle, which means that it's not harmful, you know, and no, you shouldn't put it in your tea and drink it, you know, or something like that. But still, it's not harmful, and I noticed that it doesn't give off that awful smell, like a bleachy smell. Like with the Cascade, there's like a lot of harmful things in there. Otherwise, they want to say, beware, don't, you know, don't be in the same room
saying that
if you're in the same room, obviously you're going to be inhaling it because it has a very strong smell to it of like bleach and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. So you're saying there's other eco-friendly out there that it does work, not just those brands in Washington. So
and then also like Seventh, I've tried different actually soaps and Seventh Generation works pretty good for us. And then also Palm Olive, all a dishwasher, like fast-free detergent. But, you know, I try it like, so I've, it depends on the dishwasher too. Some like with the Seventh Generation and the Snap one that we carry. If you, certain dishwasher, you might have to like tweak it to according to what the bottle says because of the washer brand that you have. Whereas with the, I've personally found sometimes better the liquid to work better in the dishwasher. But like I said, it's worth a try. I try Snap, you know, dishwasher crystals. It's called dishwasher crystals at shopinsuperhighway.com because it might work for your dishwasher, you know, rather than somebody else's dishwasher. So it depends on the brand of the dishwasher. And I did research on that too. So that's how
So Washington, so this is like, you know, I mean, Washingtoners, they should try wide varieties of eco-friendly products. That's
exactly
those brands that they have available to them, you know.
Dishwashers, because I think consumers would appreciate if they did some research of which works in which dishwasher with different types. I mean, like our family eats like eggs that are fried sometimes, you know, hard eggs, oatmeal, you know, raisin bran that's like, you know, hard on things. So, I mean, I think they should do a lot of research before they order that, you know. That's what I think.
So, last question over here, Mr. Neiman. So, what do you think the consumer should do in Washington? I mean, should just, like, get together and talk to their congressman and
write a letter? I guess how concerned is the whole state population of Washington with, you know, not being able to use the products that contain phosphate, you know, if they're banning it completely, if it's going to be that much better for their environment and for the people, do they really need to take it to the congressman? Do they need to take it to that level? Or, you know, if all the people together feel as if they want those brands that contain phosphate or whatever, you know, whatever they want as a consumer, I would take it to the next level if they feel that strongly about it. But, I mean, ultimately, the government's going to decide what they want on the shelves and what they don't, and is it worth your time and effort to take it that far?
Man, you should be a politician, dude.
I would definitely
have my vote. If you ever become a politician, maybe you'd be like,
I hate politics. I hate them.
No.
All politicians are fake, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you'd be the first real one.
I mean, it's all how people.
What? Exactly. Well, let's jump in this segment over here because we're running out of time.
I got to keep rolling, though. I got to
All right, dude.
Here, man.
Thanks for calling in, dude.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
All right.
Great Inferno.
Have a good one. All right.
Bye.
He's out. That was Mr. Corey Neiman. So, let's, you know, I mean, that again, it's, Wisconsin is not even in the list. And But I feel you guys over there in Washington. You know, you have to cross the line to get your product that you need. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, you know, to get to what you want. But let's change the subject, shall we? From the phosphate environment, the phosphate, whatever you want to call that, over in Washington, to this crab. The crab. Well, get this. A new research suggests that crabs not only suffer pain, but they retain a memory of it. The study, which was carried out by Professor Bob Elwood, and Miriam Apple from the School of Biological Sciences at Queen's University, Belfast, looked at the reaction of hermit crabs to small electric shocks. And it was published in a journal, quote-unquote, animal behavior. So this guy, Professor Elwood, whose actually previous work showed that prawns endure pain. Said his research highlighted the need to investigate a treatment of crustaceans used in food industry. So, Olive Gardens, you know, those restaurants that carries lobsters, prawns, any crustaceans, you know, you better listen to this, okay? So hermit crabs have no shell of their own to inhabit other structures. Usually empty, it's just an empty shell that they occupy, and that's what they do. So in the research, wires were attached to the shell to deliver some small shocks to the abdomen of some of the crabs within the shell. So the only crabs to get out of their shells were those which had received shocks, indicating that experience is unpleasant for them. I could have figured that out all by myself. I didn't know, done the research for that. So the research suggests that this response is not just a reflex, but not central neuronal processing takes place. So hermit crabs are known to prefer some species of shells to others, and it was found that they were more likely to come out of the shells when they least preferred, you know, when they get hurt. Yeah, I don't remember that. I remember getting hurt in that shell. So that's what that actually shows. So the main aim of the experiment was to deliver a shock just under the threshold that causes crabs to move out of the shell to see what happened when the new shell was offered. So they go in there and they remember. I think this is bogus. So what do you think on this, Don? What do you think? Crabs remembering pain?
I think that can be true. And not, I mean, like...
You're trying to be shocked and you know, give you the same house that you were shocked in, or you were electrocuted in. I mean, you know, I would back away, too. I mean, but they're trying to say, I mean, but it still tastes good, though. Don't you agree? With butter?
I'm not really a fan of crabs, but I've eaten it sometimes. Like, I think it's making up money. Like, they're making, not money, but a job for people to do. So they call it research. To say about that, they call it research. They get paid for it. They get paid probably a lot of money for doing that stuff. When do they really have a purpose for that? You know, I guess the purpose was to find out if they have pain. And so, I don't know what you're going to do about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What research is, I know.
But
make something tick and do something about it.
Well, you know what they got to do, man? They have to, like, save those crustaceans, whatever they... I can't even talk anymore now. So save those crabs, put them in the barrel, and shift it to my house. You know, I'll do some. I'll put them in a boiling water with corn and some butter and mashed potatoes. Mmm, yummy in my belly. But anyway, so let's go to the last subject here, the last topic of the day, because we're doing a 9 and 9. It's only 8. I know this is boring, but hey, this is better than sitting in the dark, right? Right?
Yep.
That's right. So,
right.
Never heard about this, say, a 17-year-old that played or playing with a pitcher. Her name is Eri Yoshida from Japan. So, 17-year-old with the wicked sidearm knuckleball. Those are the pitch. You know, I don't know if you know into sport. But
no.
She only stands about 5 feet and 114 pounds, framed to the mound to become Japan's first female professional pitcher, according to a report by Associated Press. So back in December, you see her sign a contract to join the team, Kobe Cruz. Here's my thing. I got 30 seconds here. It's not going to work. It's publicity stunt. End of question. If you disagree with me, and then... you are just disagreeing with me. So, final thought on Don, what you got? 30 seconds.
She's going to be teased a lot, perhaps. Hopefully not, but...
yeah.
Be tempted teaser.
Maybe, she's going to have her own locker rooms. I mean, what's next? We're going to have another female playing in a basketball... I mean, it's not like a... I think they ought to do... like a professional baseball player for women, like a women's baseball player, baseball league.
Yeah, they give them softball, but maybe they want to play with upper hand, not lower hand. Yep.
That's true. But we are going for a landing. This is it, folks. We did the 9 and 9 here on the 28th of March, which is the lights out. So we are going to say goodbye. Well, I don't want to really play that. We are going to say goodbye once again to and catch me up on blocktalkradio.com/Great Inferno. Same channel, same frequency. Yuppie!